This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, and you didn't win. Didn't win the lottery, the $700 million lottery. Single winner in Massachusetts.
And that's not Idaho, as it turns out. I got excited there for a minute.
Nowhere near.
Because they said they had given the wrong location where the winning ticket was sold.
Yep.
It just turns out it was a different store, but still in Massachusetts.
Yeah, they did move. They did give the wrong location. When asked who they would call first if they won the lottery, 40% said their significant other.
Yeah, I imagine that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Call her around 4.
Yeah.
Debbie, when did you find out you won? Oh, this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Last week.
I forgot. Yeah.
I suddenly realized you weren't here in Hawaii with me.
Yeah. Yeah. 10% said their first call would be to their lawyer.
Yeah. I'd have to figure out who my lawyer is.
Well, I'm sure you would have no trouble hiring one. Can you imagine
I'm sure I could afford
lawyer frenzy?
Oh, yeah.
That would be around somebody who just won $700 million.
I have my cousin's married to a lawyer who specializes in, you know, accounting and things
estate,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And setting up stuff. So, I'd probably go with him.
Yeah.
Keep it in the family.
We might go with our financial guy.
All right. Yeah. Well,
one of the worst things.
Stick with someone with whom you have already worked.
One of the worst things you can do if you win the lottery
is not pick up the prize.
No, is go out and go, "I won the lottery. I won."
Run home as fast as you can.
Because lottery winners become the most heavily targeted. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Marks in the entire world.
Have I got a deal for you?
So lawyer up. If you ever win, assemble your team. Trusted lawyers, certified public accountants.
Or you could say, buy the Seahawks.
Financial advisors. You could, couldn't you?
Well, maybe.
I mean, you could buy, maybe not
the
Seahawks.
You could certainly buy into the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Or just get some season tickets.
Put the team together before you claim your winnings.
Mm.
12 things not to do. Keep mum.
What do you mean? Oh, you don't tell anyone?
What? That didn't make sense.
Or you mean don't let your...
Suppress the urge
don't let
your,
to...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't let your mother move in or what?
It says keep mom.
Yeah.
Don't post on Facebook.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. What you should do is keep mom.
Yeah, I see.
Got it.
Mom's the word.
Don't take the lump sum.
Well, you hear different advice on that all the time. Some people say, the smart thing to do is take the lump sum.
It says you shouldn't.
Well, you get. I think you
not take the
if you stay alive long enough, I think you end up with more money if you take the annuity. You don't get it all at once, but then again, you don't exactly need it all at once.
Don't splurge and trust no one.
All right. I wouldn't know how to splurge.
The thing is, you'd probably have to move. Maybe.
Yeah, imagine so.
Yeah, I mean, you're high profile enough, I think you'd probably have to move.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to move.
And I'm not terribly high profile.
And yeah, but hey, now you are.
Oh, well,
you're high profile now.
I think Idaho's one of those states where they don't let you remain anonymous.
No.
In fact, that they put you in commercials and whatnot.
Yeah. As we have seen, we've had a couple of, not to this extent, winners, but couple of pretty big winners, and they've all been high profile. You know, they've all...
You remember Pam Hyatt?
Pam Hyatt.
See, I can still remember her name.
And what's his name?
And how many years ago was that, like 20 years ago?
What's his name at the gym?
Right. Him at the gym.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. would be a nice problem to have.
Mm-hmm. It would. What am I going to do with all this cash?
Oh, man.
What a terrible problem.
What kind of car would you buy?
Knowing me, probably, small Toyota or something.
Yeah?
Yeah, that whole thing about not splurging, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, because...
No, I don't know. I might get an SUV, but I probably wouldn't get, an Escalade or something. I'd probably get something that runs and is new.
See, the deal is we have lived, not without, but,
yeah.
We have lived within certain means.
Well, sure.
For years and decades.
Yeah.
So we're used to that.
Yeah, and, why step into a society that where I don't know anyone anyway?
Yeah, and then who do you trust? Hey, I'm here with all these high rollers. Yeah.
Do you trust people who have done very well at
They're all looking at my wallet.
Do you trust people who have done very well throughout their entire lives at making lots of money for themselves?
Interesting.
I mean, it's a good question.
It is a good question.
I trust that rich guy because... Why do I trust that rich guy?
Because he made a lot of money for himself, yeah. But then, Chris...
Oh, and by the way...
Did he make it off of your money?
I wasn't talking about anybody that happens to be in government right now.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it was a real general statement.
It's kind of a moot statement anyway.
I'm sure there are some very trustworthy rich people.
Yeah. I was talked into buying some tickets yesterday.
Some tickets? Oh, some lottery tickets.
Lottery tickets.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what?
Yeah, well, I know. It's,
yeah.
You probably won the exact same amount I did.
KBOI News Time, 8:45.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
You talked to your daughter Natalie lately?
Yeah, I talked to her last night. She's all fired up.
She's in Austin, Texas,
yep.
Which I guess is inland.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, where Houston is,
yep.
But still, I think that they will probably feel some effects of this tropical storm Harvey that's coming in.
Well, they're going to feel a lot of effects because the last storm that really took it to Texas.
Yeah.
The thing is the rain that falls once these storms get inland.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening now is it's... regaining hurricane force out in the Gulf.
Yeah.
And is headed basically right toward Austin.
Yeah, they're referring to it as former Tropical Storm Harvey.
Soon to be one again.
Exactly. It drifted erratically toward the Texas Gulf Coast late last night amid forecasts that it could become a hurricane by landfall later this week, as soon as it hits,
a couple of days.
Galveston, Houston, all those places down there.
All the stores and stuff in the Houston area are already running out of
dumping
everything.
Heavy rain and raising the threat of flooding. The U.S. National Hurricane Center said the tropical depression was expected to intensify over the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico before reaching the Texas coast sometime late tomorrow. Emergency officials geared up as forecasters predicted heavy rains in parts of eastern Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi that could continue for days.
The deal is it's moving so slowly, Chris,
yeah,
that rainfall amounts could reach more than 25 inches. Think about
which,
that.
Well, I will think about it. I mean, I've lived in Idaho my whole life, and so I don't even really know what that looks like.
Yeah, you've lived here 50 years, and you haven't seen 25 inches.
Not collectively, I don't think. Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered the State Operations Center to elevate its readiness level, basically that means get ready.
Yeah.
Making state resources available for, hey, elevate your readiness level.
Or get
take
ready.
Take a bath or something.
Buy some bottled water.
Yeah, do that. Making state resources available for possible rescue and recovery actions. Abbott also preemptively declared a state of disaster for 30 counties on or near the coast to speed deployment of state resources to any areas affected. See, this is a governor who has learned from previous governors of other Gulf states who did not do this stuff very quickly. and like waited until 2 weeks after the hurricane to walk around and see what was going on.
Man, that was terrible.
Wow, we should really get you some help.
Yeah. Hurricane watch in effect from Port Mansfield.
Yeah.
The mouth of the Rio Grande. With a storm surge watch stretching north to High Island, which is out on Galveston Bay.
Mm-hmm. Emergency officials asked residents along the upper Texas coastline to move or prepare to move inland. Those in low-lying areas were urged to seek higher ground. Those elsewhere were told to monitor official announcements closely. As of yesterday afternoon, the campus of Texas A&M Corpus Christi, which is right down there, was the only area under a mandatory evacuation order.
Campus will be closed starting today, according to the university website.
Yeah. So emergency preparedness is what they are going after. And also, you know, basically they would like to get through this thing without anybody getting killed.
Yeah.
And they probably won't get through it without any property damage.
Because they can't, because of the rain amount.
Yeah.
Is absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, and undoubtedly there will be some flooding, but it doesn't mean that people have to be swept away.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll keep our eyes on it. Mm-hmm. And the global warming, et cetera, all this stuff. All we know is there has been, and Chris and I can vouch for this, there has been a change in storms hitting the U.S.
Yeah.
We used to sit here every summer, I'm not kidding you,
yeah,
and watch and three watch, or four.
Well, we'd watch the Weather Channel. And
we'd have the Weather Channel on and all the time.
And CNN, and we'd watch all the people covering it. And you know, and basically, because we had so much fun watching whoever was assigned to go out and be in the hurricane.
Blown around on the roof. But we haven't done that in years.
Yeah.
Because there are no more storms.
And we don't know if it's global warming, and we don't know if humans caused it. We just know that it's happening.
Yep.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KDOI.
KDOI News Time 9:07. Disaster preparedness 25 years after Hurricane Andrew's 25th anniversary. Monster storm is what they're calling this thing headed toward. Fully expect Rush Limbaugh to poo-poo this today and say that it's a concoction in the minds of the liberals.
Oh. I'm thinking physically he might be able to. It's supposed to turn into maybe a hurricane in the next...
Yeah, very soon.
Or as people down in that area say sometimes, hurricane.
Hurricane. I've been to Hurricane, Utah.
Yeah. I was going to say we had a caller on.
No, he hung up.
He had he had something to do.
Hurricane Andrew in Florida.
Yeah.
It's kind of the prototype storm of this storm here, Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
175-mile-an-hour winds.
See, that's pretty high.
30 inches of rain.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Mm. And basically, it just stopped. It moved into Homestead, Florida, and that was it.
That was Andrew.
Just stopped. That was Andrew.
25 years ago. Yeah.
But they still remember it and say it's by far the worst.
The worst one on the East Coast, yeah.
The worst one. Well, yeah, the worst one.
Probably Katrina still is the worst one to hit in the Gulf. But I mean, it's maybe not as far as highest winds or most rain or anything, but most unfortunate you know, events occurred in New Orleans.
Yeah, the deadliest hurricanes in U.S. history, the Lake Okeechobee hurricane 1928 killed 3,000.
All right, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's in the middle of Florida.
Mm-hmm. And I guess
it's in South Florida, but it's a huge body of water.
Yeah. So anyway, very shallow. Right. So anyway, storm heading toward Houston. We'll keep you in touch all week.
We've been talking about the South. It's been coming up quite a bit in the last several days, mm-hmm, because of all the Confederate statues and things like that.
Sure.
Online chatter about a Confederate statue in the town of Granbury led police to issue a warning on its Facebook page this week. You can't shoot people for vandalizing a statue. In particular, the one of Confederate, they say, General H.B. Granbury on the lawn of the Hood County Courthouse. And this is, I believe this is in Texas. Yeah, this is Texas. It's near the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But the warning came as residents have debated whether the statue should remain standing in wake of the deadly protest, you know, over the Confederate monument in Charlottesville, Virginia, and all the other things that have happened since then. And what they are telling people is that, yeah, people are going out. They feel like it's open season on these Confederate statues, and if they don't like them, they're going out and vandalizing them because they think, you know, who cares? Well, first of all, that's still against the law. It's still public property, and you still aren't supposed to vandalize it, even if you know it's coming down tomorrow.
Yep.
They still would like to, at some point, put it in a museum or do something with it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to smelt them. What they actually issued a warning to tell people is that if you see someone vandalizing a Confederate statue and it angers you, you are not allowed to shoot those people.
Even though you're locked and loaded.
Well, even though you would be, protecting public property, you're not allowed to do that. I mean, I suppose if you're a policeman, you're allowed to do it with cause. But if you're an average citizen, you're not allowed to. Unless, of course, let's say the statue is in your living room. But that would be strange.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think anyone has one. They might have a small one.
Mm-hmm.
At some point during the online discussion, a person claiming to be a police officer posted inaccurate information about a state law that allows the use of deadly force to stop another person from committing criminal mischief.
Criminal mischief.
Yeah, there isn't anything that allows you to kill someone for mischief. Granbury police posted that on Facebook Monday night.
No.
The person's interpretation of the law, which suggested it would be okay to shoot a statue vandal, is absolutely not true, the police said on Facebook. The law, according to the Texas Penal Code, allows use of deadly force against another to protect land or tangible movable property. But it's got to pretty much be yours.
Yeah, that's just
like, I guess you can use deadly force if someone is stealing your car or hoisting up your house and leaving with it.
Can you see a motivation, though?
Well, yeah, anger and the fact that you're holding a gun would be two things right there.
Well, yeah.
Get away from my statue. You don't have the guts to. All right, you do. And look, I have the guts too. There they are.
I mean, man, we have got to shape up. we cannot.
Yeah.
We cannot go around shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
For criminal mischief, but even more important,
we probably shouldn't commit criminal mischief.
There you are.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Two wrongs don't make a right, but, you know, one wrong is also not right. That seems rather simple, doesn't it?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh? Doesn't.
And I won't tell my joke that I tell every time I say that.
No. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Looking at money markets this morning, everything's up. Sears is going to close another 28 Kmarts. Do we have any Kmarts left?
We might. I don't know. There used to be one.
Near Kmart?
There used to be one about 60 yards from my house. We live just a few blocks off of Fairview up near 5 Mile, and that one closed a long time ago.
Are there Kmarts left?
I think there's one in Nampa.
One in Nampa.
Which is why you're recognizing every shirt I wear.
Is that where you shop? Kmart?
Well, yeah, it was because they had my size. And also they were like, you know, $7 or something.
Yeah.
Hmm. Both of those things are very attractive to me when buying a shirt.
I'm trying to remember, you know, I just don't shop those. I don't shop stores. I don't know where I shop. Where do I get my clothes? I don't buy anything.
Exclusive boutiques?
Yeah.
All right. There you are. Yeah. Games?
You want to get sick? Yeah.
Not particularly.
You got a lot of money?
No.
A wealthy Bronx, New York woman recently died, left part of her fortune to her cats.
Yeah.
You're looking for your next peanut butter sandwich.
There, yeah, exactly.
Ellen Faye Wouter left $300,000 of her $3 million estate.
To her cat.
To a
trust that would ensure that her cat would be taken care of.
Cats. She has two.
In a very, very expensive way.
Cats Tiger and Troy. She was widowed. Left detailed instruction. The cats never be caged. Be well cared for. Damn cats. Tiger and Troy.
And apparently fed caviar.
You know, what a job that would be, huh? Be the caretaker for these guys?
Yeah.
Tiger and Troy are being cared for by Frey Walter's former home health aides.
I felt it necessary to buy the cats a new car. You did want me to use my own judgment, right?
Dahlia Grizzy, Frey Walter's former home health aide, now cares for Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Who she said is a wonderful cat. Is a wonderful cat. Grizzly told the Post it was no surprise Frey Walter left the cats a generous sum.
Okay.
The cats were her babies.
Yeah. Plus, she was probably, a little noodly.
Yeah.
Not completely. I mean, it's nice to take care of your pets and provide for your pets to be taken care of after you're gone. But it doesn't mean that you're not a little bit noodly.
Yeah. In 2007, New York hotel heiress Leona Helmsley.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Left $12 million to her dog, Trouble.
The Queen of Mean. I think she did that basically because she didn't want any people. She didn't like people enough so that any people would have it, so she wanted the dog to have it.
Yeah.
But the dog had to have people assist him.
Yeah. Right.
Dogs are terrible with money.
And think about that when you're trying to decide what meat you can afford this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a hotel heiress.
Troy and Tiger.
And I never will be. Any kind of heiress.
Feasting on whatever. KBOI News Time, 9:17.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
It is at 9:23 a.m., and this is Idaho Talks Live on News Talk 670 KBOY, and we have our word,
rewards code.
Rewards code word of the day is jackpot.
J-A-C-K-P-O-T.
As in, hey, what's south of Twin Falls?
Jackpot.
Jackpot, exactly. Yep.
While there were significantly less curse words and insults, still a number of strong statements in the lead-up to last night's big fight, or to tomorrow night's big fight in Las Vegas. The fight's on Saturday.
Oh, the Mayweather-McGregor.
So, okay, it's Saturday night.
Mayweather and McGregor.
No matter how much you earn, getting by is still a struggle. Well, I can't believe it's going to be for these guys.
Who said that?
78% of full-time workers.
Oh.
Say they live paycheck to paycheck.
All right.
That's up from 75% from last year.
Yeah, I can see where, though, Mayweather wouldn't be one of those people.
Overall, yeah, neither of these guys, I don't think.
No.
71% of U.S. workers say they're now in debt, up from 68%.
Mm-hmm.
46%.
Can in debt just indicate that you still owe on your house, or does it mean that in particular you've borrowed money you can't pay back, or you've run up credit cards or something?
Sweet. Funny you should ask.
Okay.
Well, 46% said their debt is manageable. Mm-hmm. That's house payments, you know, car payments, whatever.
In other words, I'm not failing to make payments.
Yeah, I owe money, but I'm paying stuff off.
Right.
56% said they were in over their heads. About 56% also save $100 or less each month, according to Career Builder.
I can believe that.
The job hunting site pulled over 2,000 hiring and human resource managers and more than 3,000 full-time employees between May and June.
It's amazing how many people that, well, I mean, probably in the circles you run in, you don't necessarily talk to these people, or maybe you do, I don't know. Possibly Todd does. I definitely do. But you run into people who say, hey, it's only like 9 days until I get paid, and so I have to make this $11 last.
Yeah. I know those.
And they're not being funny. They're just, they actually have $11 until payday.
And I know people who will talk to you and tell you that, and then you will see them at the races, and they have $80, and you're going, I thought you were broke. And they said, haven't you ever written a check knowing you're going to win?
No. I have to admit I never have.
No would be the answer.
I'm not entirely sure I've ever done anything knowing I was going to win.
Most financial experts recommend stashing a six-month cushion.
A six-month cushion?
Six-month cushion.
I can stash a cushion.
Yeah.
I could probably even stash something in a cushion.
Yeah, we could just move in here for 6 months.
It's not going to be 6 months worth of stuff.
We could just move in, you, me, and Todd.
We need to go to the news. KBOI News Time is 9:27. More to come. This is kind of weird. It's Chris Walton, Paul J. Schneider, by the way.
Hello.
Idaho Talks Live, 9:36 a.m.
What's weird?
A county commissioner in North Carolina, in Alamance County, is taking some heat for referring to slaves as workers. And he said it during a meeting of the commission, and it wasn't a slip of the tongue either. Tim Sutton was referring to his great-grandfather's service in the Confederate Army during the Civil War. And he said, it is my understanding that when he died, that some guys on the farm, you can call them slaves if you want to, but I would just call them workers, that they raised a good bit of my family. When the time came, my great-grandmother gave them land. I am not going to be a victim of political correctness. I am just not going to do it. Label me all you want. Say what you will about me. You can see how that wasn't a slip of the tongue.
Yep.
A group of ACT Back, or Alamance County Taking Back Alamance County members, were in attendance at the meeting to ask that commissioners not remove a Confederate statue in downtown Graham, North Carolina. And I guess his point was that, after the slaves were freed, since my great-grandmother or whatever gave them some land, that I'm just going to refer to them as workers and not slaves.
And I'm even closer though, to them than you are.
Even though before, before they were freed, they were slaves.
Sure.
But some people are calling for his resignation, and other people really don't care.
Put me in there, really don't care. We got to get over this.
You mean just words people use?
Yep.
Well, language
is... Get on with life.
Language is, it's an important thing.
Well, how do you feel about
your quality of your thoughts is probably based on the quality of your language. There are an awful lot of different philosophies on language. I remember, what was it, Clarence Darrow said, language is a poor enough way to communicate. We should use all the words we have because the judges were constantly telling him not to say certain words.
That's true.
That begin with, like letters like GD in court, and he would try to use them anyway.
Oh.
However, here's the deal. A lot of this probably, there's such a thing as free speech, and we talk about this all the time. We talk about free speech in America. And people say, oh, you shouldn't say that. No, you shouldn't be allowed to say that. And you shouldn't be allowed. You can pretty much say anything you want in America, or the Constitution says that you can. However, there are a lot of things. My mother used to say, before you say something, and you have to basically learn to do this because you're saying stuff all the time, ask yourself three questions,
okay,
which, you know, would have to come naturally to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it kind?
Okay.
Which would indicate that it's polite, right?
Right.
Is it true? Okay, that's
should
that's
be.
That's right there in the, you know, Ten Commandments.
Yep.
And the third one is the best one. Is it necessary?
Yeah.
Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? You'd be surprised how many things don't pass that third one.
Yeah.
Or any of them,
well,
really.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so,
we all know.
But you run through that little filter in your head.
Yep.
And there are a lot of things that you don't say. Now, you're allowed to say certain things, but some things are impolite.
Mm-hmm.
They will hurt other people's feelings, and on and on and on. Now, on the other hand, if the whole point is to hurt other people's feelings, I suppose have at it. Although you will be labeled as impolite, you may be labeled as a hate, you know, monger, whatever.
We were...
But, like we said... Speech is speech. We have freedom of speech, so we have freedom of the press. So, you know, no matter which politicians are telling you that the press is your enemy, they still have the right to do what they do too.
We were talking about the jackpot,
yeah,
in the lottery,
the Powerball, yeah,
so huge,
mm-hmm.
And we'd talk about our demeanor if we won,
mm-hmm.
how we would act, what we would do. And one of the people there said they would overtly get in the face of people they didn't like and waggle fingers at them and say, who's the rich now?
Yeah. Although bragging about winning the lottery isn't really the same as bragging about all the things you have accomplished in your life.
Yeah, inventing something that made you money.
Well, yeah, or, you know, running a business, well, I'm not going to say shrewdly because, if shrewd can also indicate that you, the reason you have money is because you took it from a lot of other people that probably deserved some of it. However, again, that's, you know, I don't mean to sound like I'm, well, Bernie Sanders or something, but...
I can find no logical reason to make other people angry.
No, I can't either.
I mean,
let's put it this way. If you've got $700 million now and you're still thinking I need to go get satisfaction from people who've been snooty to me...
He has a problem.
Then you are $700 million. You don't realize what you can do with $700 million. Like, for instance, you can move to where none of those people live... And, prop up your feet and be content.
Well, and plus the fact I said that.
Do you have a hobby?
They know you won.
Yeah.
They know you won $700 million.
Yeah.
You don't have to get in their face.
Exactly.
They know. And here's another thing. They can shoot you in the head. And so you could be just a vegetable over on the porch.
Right.
A very rich vegetable.
Yeah.
What good is that going to do you?
And believe me when I tell you that revenge.
I don't think
it.
What
it,
is this? Something.
It doesn't
sweet.
Do. It doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying you absolutely are. You know, have to be stoic. In fact, I'm not telling you have to do anything.
No, you.
That
don't.
Is not something I try to do. And I, no matter what church I've ever been to in my life, I don't try to tell people, here's the way you have to live. And I don't try to
get to heaven that way.
I can point out to some people that there are certain things that simply aren't polite, or they are not the social convention with which we live. However, I suppose I'm not going to get too after you if you do have a right to do what you're doing.
Yeah. If I had that kind of money, I would just be as low profile as I could.
Yeah. Well, it's true.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would. And here's a bad example. The mafia.
Yeah.
You know, they would get money that they weren't supposed to have and would not pay taxes on it. And so they would live modestly so people wouldn't know how much money they had.
Exactly.
That's why you could have a mafia guy living next door to you and not know that he was a mafia guy because he wasn't shaking around all the money. But believe me, if he needed to spend money on something, he certainly had it.
Yeah.
Which made him look thrifty.
Yeah. Very good.
And also, don't step on his yard.
It's 9:45.
Right.
is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
9:50, Paul, Jay, and Chris on a Thursday morning.
You know, the case that's going on right now where the mother can't get her child into kindergarten.
Because of the vaccination.
Well, it's public school, and in order to be in the public school, you have to be vaccinated. And
sure.
She didn't want to get her child vaccinated, mm-hmm. So that's going to, you know, they're going to go around and around about that. In Texas, there's a 4-year-old boy who has long hair, and he was barred from his public kindergarten because of his hair.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Oates says that her son, whose name is Jabez, who hasn't had a haircut since he was born, well, ever, let's just put it that way,
yeah,
is stuck at home in limbo because the Texas school that she enrolled him in, which is at Mont Bellevue, is in a district with a strict dress code, and you have to keep your hair a certain way, too. The wording bars boys with hair that goes below their eyebrows, below their ears, or touches their collar. So they, you know, they try to, you know, take into account all parts of your head. Inappropriate hair accessories are not allowed also, and ponytails are also forbidden. The school district released a statement defending its policy as a staple of a rigorous educational environment of high expectations for children. He's 4. Yeah. Parents have a right to seek an appropriate educational setting for their child, just as Ms. Oates has the right to place her child in a district that reflects her personal expectations for standards of appearance. There are procedures in place for addressing concerns over policy if it is Ms. Oates' desire to have her son educated in Barbers Hill ISD.
Sure.
Which is a school district, yeah. But we would and should justifiably be criticized if our district lessened its expectations or longstanding policies simply to appease. But there again, when you have a public setting and you're starting to base things on how people look, you probably will get sued at some point. It doesn't mean that you'll lose, but you'll get sued.
But you'll get sued. Yeah. Yeah.
A representative for the school board said that all parents sign a student handbook acknowledgement form that includes dress code policy at registration. So if you signed it, that means you agreed to it. And according to contract law, you need to cut your hair.
That's amazing.
It is.
Parents that do that to their kids, I mean, and basically,
well, that, you know, set them up as a test case.
Yeah, a test case or a model, and the kid is going, mm-hmm. What?
Oh, okay. And we didn't really talk about this yesterday, but we mentioned it off the air. But in the aftermath of the Charlottesville protests, ESPN.
Oh yeah. Bob.
Found themselves in an interesting situation. They have the rights to the Virginia versus William and Mary college football game on September 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
University of Virginia is in Charlottesville. That's where all the problems occurred. And the sportscaster who had been assigned to the game, his name is Robert Lee. He is of Asian descent, hence the Lee, you know.
It's, right.
And he's not
very common.
He's not a descendant of Robert E. Lee.
Right.
And it isn't Robert E. Lee, the Confederate general whose statue was the center of the Charlottesville protest. And by the way, he died in 1870, so he is not around.
What did ESPN do there, Chris?
Robert Lee is an Asian American sportscaster who's been with ESPN for a couple of years now. Not one of their big names,
no.
but you know, he gets assigned to stuff.
I did not recognize him.
ESPN didn't drop the guy. They just moved him to another game, and they say it was a mutual decision. Clearly, they were trying to avoid negative press. However,
they got it.
They did. In fact, the network says they were concerned that Robert himself would bear the brunt of it. And since it was a total coincidence, they thought they could dodge it by switching things up. But that did not happen.
Nope.
Since word got out, ESPN has been roasted on social media,
yep.
where, by the way, people love to roast.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty ridiculous if you think about it. They say the worst that probably would have happened would have been somebody would have made a joke. Hey, that's funny. The guy's, you know, in Charlottesville, and his name is Robert Lee, like Robert E. Lee. And that would have been
I wouldn't have even thought about it.
And now they're making jokes about how, you know, nervous and petty ESPN must be.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get where we're going. I don't get it.
Well, sometimes we move around and don't necessarily all go in one direction.
Yeah.
I was upset to find out this, too. I suppose I should have known this, but a new study found out that drinking too much coffee makes you stupid.
Really?
I'm glad they told me at this point, like 30 years in.
Really? Makes you stupid.
Says, do you ever have to
chug
a whole pot of coffee to get through work? And yes, I get up at 3 a.m., so occasionally I do drink quite a bit of coffee. Well, you might not want to make a habit of it, they say. According to a new study, that much coffee could make you dumber. See, somebody out there right now who listens to the show regularly is going, yeah, I knew this.
Yeah.
Researchers looked at the GPAs of more than 1,000 college students and asked how many cups of coffee they drink each day, and the more coffee they drank, the lower their grades were.
This many, but I can't add them in my head.
Here's another thing. The later you stay up at night and the less sleep you get, chances are the lower your grades are, and that might be why you're drinking coffee. So A doesn't necessarily always cause B.
True stuff. See you tomorrow.
All right.